Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for this glorious day. We are so grateful and humbly thankful for all that the Lord has done for us. Good morning. Good morning. You are tuned in to Words from the Word. I am your host, Overseer Paulette, and I am grateful that God has been so gracious to us as we experience this blessed Thanksgiving season, as well as entering into the holy, holy Advent season. We appreciate your presence with us this morning. We pray that you have had a glorious time with your family, blessing God for all of his many, many gracious benefits that he has bestowed upon his children. We are live at Words from the Word. We ask that if you are, you have joined us today, we would like to thank you for sharing your holiday with us. We say good morning to you. You are live. The lines are open. And we are grateful for your presence. Good morning, good morning, good morning, everyone. And we would like to just have this opportunity extended to you to share with our listeners and in dialogue today in honoring our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, in giving thanks to him for thanksgiving is the language of love, and it allows us to express to him our joy that he is present in our life. So you're live and on the air, and we want to give this time over to you to share the benefits that you had, and the gratefulness of the benefits you've received from the Lord. Good morning, good morning. You are live. Morning, elders. Praise.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning. Yes.
Well, someone
you
want to
share with us? Yes.
Hello?
Yes. Good morning.
Oh, I thought someone else was speaking. I just thank the Lord for today. Thank him for a life on today. Thank him for his grace and his mercy. Thank him for allowing me to see another Thanksgiving day. I thank God for my sisters and I, after our mom passed away, decided that we would spend Thanksgiving together. It's been 10 years, and this is, I believe, the first year that there's three of us, and this is the first year that our other sister decided that she would come and spend Thanksgiving with us. So I thank God for her presence this year. It was really a joy to have her here with us, because it has just been the two of us for 9 years. And I count it a blessing that he would allow her to be here with us. And we really had a nice family time together with my nephew home from school. And it was just a really nice day for all of us. And I thank God for that. It's, when I think of my different friends that their mom is not with them this year for Thanksgiving. I offer prayer for them because I understand where they are at this season of their lives with their mom not being here. And, you know, you just don't think about yourself during this time because there's so many other people that, you know, they're with family, but then there's a family member missing this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just grateful that in our immediate family, we did not have anyone missing this year. And even in the midst of our extended family, with cousins that have passed recently, God yet kept us in touch. We called and extended, you know, comfort to them in this time. So I just bless the Lord for his grace and his mercy toward us in loving us and sustaining us and providing our daily bread. Amen.
Amen. Anyone else wants to share the uniqueness of their Thanksgiving experience this year? Or the joy of their continued traditions and acknowledgments? Oops. Okay. Okay, well, yeah, I am grateful. And as I was listening to you, I realized that we do depend on, you know, our mothers to provide the traditions in our families. And I recall the moment yesterday, and when I looked up, the kitchen was full of men, very tall men, actually. But I realized what a blessing it is that they were acknowledging and providing the tradition for the family. And normally it's the women, it's the women, it's the women. But for me yesterday, it was the men. The men stood up. The men did the, they brought the blessing to the family. It was a wonderful gathering, but I'm just so aware of how God is raising up the males to take their place in providing the tradition for the families to follow. I realized even as a child, it was, though my father, you know, was very, very much present, but it was my mom. And so it is naturally, humanly speaking, you know, for it to be the moms. And yet I believe the season and the time is coming where it's going to be the men who will provide the tradition, who will provide the stories that are being told, that the children will pass on, providing the insight and the humor with things. And so I praise God for being able to share and have such a blessing, just an awakening within my mind and my thinking. God has blessed us, and we truly rejoice in him. And like I said, we rejoice in the role that men are taking in the leadership of providing tradition to the family, because that is God's way. That is God's way. And so we are grateful. We are, like I say, giving this time to the Lord for you to share your Thanksgiving, your heart of Thanksgiving with him. Thanksgiving is the language of love, and gratitude opens the windows of blessing, and they will come forth. And in just preparing our minds and our hearts for this Advent season, So you're alive, you're on the air, and if you'd like to take this time to, as you say, give a shout out for God, this is the time, and it is open to you, that opportunity.
Good morning, Overseer.
Good morning, Elder. How are you this morning?
I am doing well, and hope you're doing likewise, and your listening audience. God is just such a gracious God, and, you know, as we look at this Philip Keller being, the good shepherd, it's just interesting, looking back a year ago, but every year, you know, it's like, and certainly you don't have to go back a year, but, you know, when we just look back to yesterday, but just some of the ways that he has brought me personally and my family, I am so very grateful that, you know, everyone is doing well, new additions and some on the way that God is still blessing and adding to, you know, the legacy just of our family in a very natural kind of way. My church family, the growth of just people that I've met through AEN and through laborers who are just your horizons kind of expand, you know, exponentially, just in meeting all of these different people who are doing different things, you know, in the kingdom. It is truly a blessing. This has been a very simple holiday, you know, good food, good people, and just fellowship, you know, just a very simple kind of thing, but I think those are it's the everyday ordinary things that are the true blessings of, you know, just how God keeps us. It's so subtle that we don't even think about it until something happens, until something out of the norm happens. His scariest potential. So I just wanted to thank you for giving me an opportunity and hope that all is well with, you know, you and yours as well.
Amen. 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 Anybody else want to share? And our mind was so blessed that it just humbles you how God just distributes treasures of joy in our life. And as you view them, they become your strength. They become your encouragement. They become your hope as he just shows up everywhere and in everybody, and how he brings out, or not even bring out, but because we were created to long for him, he feels that longing, and the joy that ensues is just so satisfying. It is so satisfying. He says he will give us that joy regardless of our circumstances if we will give him our praise and thanks regardless of how we feel. And when that happens, it is such a powerful exchange. And it is a life-giving exchange. One of the scriptures that he laid on my heart to share at the Thanksgiving time was that he said he would breathe life into me and cause me to live again. And that life, that breath that he breathed, is his word. It's his presence. And as we are saturated with it, as he breathes upon it, just like when the wind blows and we're hot and we need that refreshing breeze that comes. And that's what he does, and it revives us. It revives us and rejuvenates us. And it really causes us to live again, that exceedingly abundantly above all life. Again, you are live, you're on the air. This is a time we're giving to just praise God, thank him, acknowledge him. And in this a whole season to me is a holy season, even though they say Thanksgiving isn't a religious holiday, but it is certainly the day that, I would say the day, but it is one of all days that the world is looking to say thank you. They don't often do it, And sometimes it's only through tragedy that men will turn to God. But I do think at this particular day, on Thanksgiving yesterday, people are more mindful, you know, of what all he has done for them. Like to share, you're live and on the air. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Minister Paulette, yes. I just want to say that I had looked up Thanksgiving, and like you said, Thanksgiving came to be because the country has experienced a lot of tragedies, and so that is why Thanksgiving, there was a day set aside for giving thanks, you know, not only America, but it, I think it was China or Japan, or it was just different countries that experienced great tragedies, and you know, they saw fit that they wanted to give thanks to God for you know, the lives and the that were spared in the tragedies, and so the day came where they set aside a specific day to give thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Although, like you mentioned, we should give thanks on a daily basis.
Right.
Because we face so many dangers, seen and unseen, and we never know from day to day what God has spared us, because he sees the dangers that we don't see. And many times you don't even know until you hear the news or someone say something or he brings it to you, you know. Remember, you know, you was driving down the street, you didn't see it, but such and such was going on. And, you know, just driving on the expressway, there's a time when Holy Spirit said, don't go in that lane or stay in this lane or whatever, and you look up and something tragic happens when it could have been you. You could have been that next car, but because he's so merciful, he allowed you to stay in the lane you were in, or even maybe change the lane, or not catch that bus, or not take that train, or not walk down that street. So it's like to say, every day we should give thanks to him, whether we see a blessing or something very imminent or not, because it's yet a blessing for him to just wake us up, because many times people lay down and go to sleep and they don't wake up.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How true.
Amen. I want to share
Amen.
This. I want to read this. It says, a thankful attitude opens windows of heaven. Spiritual blessings fall freely unto you through those openings into eternity. Moreover, as you look up with a grateful heart, you get glimpses of glory through those windows. You cannot yet live in heaven, but you experience foretastes of your ultimate home. Such samples of heavenly fare revives your hope. Thankfulness opens you up to these experiences, which then provide further reasons to be grateful. Thus, your path becomes an upward spiral, ever increasing in gladness. Thankfulness is not some sort of magic formula. It is the language of love, which enables you to communicate more intimately with God. A thankful mindset does not deny the reality of the various problems and situations we face. Instead, it rejoices in God, our Savior, in the midst of trials and tribulations. He is our refuge and strength, and ever-present and all well-proved help in times of trouble. And so we can have a spirit of thanksgiving regardless of situation. But it is our, we have the purpose to do that. We have the purpose to do that. And so we have a few minutes left. I wanted to at least give a time for all to speak and to share if they choose to. And then we're going to go into our study of the 23rd Psalm.
I would like to just give mm-hmm. God the honor, you know, and the praise for just life, mm-hmm. life
yeah.
itself, you know. The
yeah.
older you get, I mean, the abundance of, like you say, like it has been said, you can go to sleep and not wake up, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But I just thank God for life. I thank God for family and friends, associates. I mean, I just thank God for all he gives me and does for me. The angels
yeah.
he keeps camped around me and my family.
Oh,
and, you know, the
yeah.
world, even though we're going through a lot of things going on in our world, you know, negative things going on, but God is still on the throne. His blood
yeah.
still works. And there's nobody,
yeah.
nobody like our God. Nobody.
Amen.
And I just thank
Amen.
God. I just thank him and give him the praise.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That was one of the things that I believe the Lord laid on our hearts as a family. And I have a double because my family is also a part of the family of the household of God. And that's a tremendous blessing.
When you're
walking with you. And one of the things he said was, well, we partake of our Thanksgiving. He wanted us as a family to take communion and to partake of him and to remember the cross, remember the sacrifice, remember the resurrection power, to remember him. And in doing so, it provided an atmosphere of just worship, an atmosphere of oneness, spirit and in our heart, and it gave him glory. It gave him glory. We do. We thank God. We thank God for you. We thank God for your sharing this morning and this blessed time of giving. We're so glad that you joined with us. And we're going to look at the point of view of a shepherd as told by the sheep. If there's any sharing you want to do, you may do so. You're live. You're just speak up. It's fine. It is fine. It is interactive. And it is a blessing for us to come together to worship and to study together.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes. Amen. And we can say like David, and a boast, that the Lord is our shepherd. That's a praise. It's a testimony, and it is our witness to the world. The Lord is our shepherd. And as
yeah.
we declare and prophetically believe this, we will know that we shall not want. As David said, I shall not want. And so we're going to look at the intimate journey of the sheep with their shepherds and the insights and the parallels between the sheep and the Christians and how it is life-changing. We are at the point in our song of He Leads Me Beside Still Waters. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes. So when we look at still waters, what do you see? You know, what do you think of? when you heard that scripture, and we've heard it, oh, hundreds, maybe thousands of times, and he leadeth me beside the still waters. What was your first thought? You know, what came to our mind as we are city dwellers, we would have a different kind of focus from a shepherd and a sheep. And so we want to look at that difference and get a perspective and a view of life as a sheep and a shepherd when it says, you know, he leadeth me beside still waters. And the author of the inspirational writing that we're looking at and gleaming from, Philip Keller, gives us a picture of what the land and the environment is for sheep. He shares with us the fact that sheep do better in a desert-type situation only because it doesn't have many bugs and parasites, which is one of their key torments. The effect that the indigenous population has on the sheep in the areas that really sustain them beautifully, which are the green pastures. And so it then becomes the responsibility, the commitment, and the work of and the dedication of the shepherd to provide that which the sheep need in this very arid, dry country. They require water. They require grass. And so the life of a sheep and still waters would have a very different meaning than it would for us. Because still water can be, you know, a pleasant time that we may go out into a park or into a natural area and do meditation and that sort of thing, which is key for us. But for the sheep, this was absolutely necessary for living. And so as a result, the shepherd had to be the one to know where the best places for water was for the sheep. He oftentimes had to create a place for them, but at bare minimum, he had to lead them to these places of water. And so when we look at water, the role of water in the life of the sheep, the animal's body are 70% water on an average. And this water, this moisture, this fluid, maintains the normal body metabolism. Every cell must have it to need to regenerate itself. Normal function of the organ must have it. It determines the vitality, the strength, and the vigor of the sheep. It's actually essential to the sheep's health and to their well-being, because if they're thirsty, they're going to be restless. They're going to be looking for something to drink. And when you get restless and you start searching, you generally get in trouble if you're not being led by someone who's the way to the things that you are in need of. And so that's where we are with the leading me beside still waters, the supply of water. Comes from three sources for the sheep. For us, we can go to the market and get a bottle of water, or we can go to different receptacles and get water. But for the sheep, those that don't have a sink and running water, if you think about, you know, just being in a semi-desert country land and dwelling there, not just visiting there, but dwelling there, these are certain things that you make sure you maintain knowledge of in order for your life to be blessed, for you to be able to continue to exist. Anybody ever, just even in a service, especially if you're a leader, if you're speaking, you have a speaking engagement, and all of a sudden you don't have any moisture in your mouth to swallow, none. And it's a very debilitating type of feeling. And that's just for a moment until someone can hand you a bottle of water, you can sip something. But it really gets to a place where it can be, even medically speaking, it can cause medical problems when you don't have that moisture. And so this is what we're talking about for one lamb or a thousand lambs. It just depends on how big the sheepfold is. And I think that it's even that is a parallel. It depends on how populous your environment is as a Christian. You know, some people are in mega churches, middle churches, you know, smaller churches, one-on-one and smaller ministries. And so all of that requires the knowledge of a shepherd to lead you to the place that will provide the water that you need, which is the word, the water. And so we're going to look at the three sources that's available for the sheep. And we Holy Spirit, give us parallels of how that also relates to us. But the first and most plenteous source of moisture, as the author puts forth, is actually the dew that is on the foliage early morning. As one of the songwriters penned, the dew is still on the roses. And when the sheep would eat the grass that was heavy with the dew, it was their source of moisture and of water, sometimes for months on end. So there had to be a great abundance of this dew that was on the foliage, on the grass that they were consuming. And this became all that they needed at that season, and that was as long as it wasn't too hot and it wasn't too arid and windy and hot, then that dew would suffice for them. Now, the dew could only be found early in the morning before the sun would come up and evaporate it. And so it was the job of the shepherd to roust his sheep to get up and consume this foliage, this grass, this feeding, this source of moisture for two reasons. One, for they needed to eat, but the second was because they had to have the water. It was also indicated that actually after the sun goes down and this condensation happens, they could do it late night or early night. And I was reminded of the prayer watches because the early night prayer watch set the tone for the next day. And then that prayer watch is that when the sun comes up, or right before the sun comes up, the early morning was the time to declare the word of God. The word of God being that which nourishes us spiritually. And so it became very important that the shepherd would get the sheep up and lead them to where this dew would be plenteous for them. Now, where they generally were was a place of safety. So they were there at night, but it did not necessarily provide a place of nourishment, but just a place of safety. So they had to be taken to a place where they could get their water, this still water. And this still water indicating it wasn't moving, it wasn't so temperate that they could not consume it. But it was there, and they actually could consume it at their leisure and get as much of it as they needed to rejuvenate their cells and cause their bodily functions to thrive and them, as a result, to mature and to be fine sheep. And so the shepherd had that responsibility. So he had to know where to take them. He couldn't be out saying, oh, maybe we go to the left, we go to the right. You have to have a path in mind. And I think we realize that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God because he's been this way before. He knows where the water is that will refresh and revive us. And we all see all through Scripture, and great saints have always shared the fact that their greatest time with the presence of God is early, early morning. Christ often stole away to be with the Father. And how many saints and those that are on the line find that that's the best time to come in the presence of the Father and the Son and Holy Spirit in order to revive their self, themselves, or to be revived in their spiritual bodies, and how that time of consuming, if you will, the dew or the very presence of God that's unencumbered by all of the troubles and the you know, world is getting ready to wake up and the going here and the going there and the different responsibilities and those things that we are challenged to do and that challenges us, and how the chaos of the world kind of breaks forth where the sun breaks forth and people start moving around, just like with the dew, when the movement starts and the sun starts, then that dew kind of dissipates. And we're more in tune to the quiet, powerful presence of Holy Spirit when we're alone with him in early morning worship, early morning prayer, early morning meditation, early morning reflection, where things like the house, if you will, is still. It's still, that still waters. It's calm. There's nothing there to distract us. We can more purely rest and seek his presence and his peace in early morning, even though there are times, you know, we don't want to get up and all of that, and we've foregone it because it's like, I'm just not getting up, it's too early, I know for me myself. And so it robs us of some very, very nourishing water, if you will, the water of the word to settle and focus our thinking and our spiritual growth and development. It becomes more prone to the heat of the sun or the heat of experiences and challenges that will often dry up, and we know the Lord, you know, but we can't even think of a prayer to pray except have mercy. And so, but in those early morning, we can time almost stops. Time becomes limitless for us when we're in his presence. And that's a great book. Yes.
Excuse me, I just wanted to say that yes. Imagery of the dew saturating the vegetation in the, you know, in the wee hours is, to me, just really incredible when you think about, Taylor talks about how the, and you mentioned it, how the sheep can exist healthily for months on end if the shepherd has a good management of the landscape and can get them out at the early mornings to, you know, to graze on the dew, you know, the vegetation is saturated by the dew, and the fact that God gives it to us every morning, that this isn't a special place that we have to go. We just have to come into his presence. When I say special, you understand what I mean. You know, you don't have to go up in the mountain. You know, he gladly, you know, refreshes and replenishes his supply, you know, daily. Yeah. If we would just come out and partake, to me, it's such a loving kind of providential care kind of thing. Like, okay, it's just out here, like the buffet is ready. You know, you go somewhere and they say, okay, breakfast is going to be served from, you know, and you know that if you can get there during that time, you know, so the whole idea that we are blessed and we are rewarded for that extra due diligence those who will dare get up to have an early morning reflection. You're absolutely correct. It is something different about it. And, I think that is something just we as sheep need to strive for, just a different type of feeding, a different type of blessing and satisfaction that will come from early morning time, early morning quiet time, and then just how as the day starts, it just dissipates. It just goes away like never before, but you come out early in the morning barefoot and you're just soaked. You know, if you come into a high grass, you know, which is so that's just an observation, but
Amen.
He cares for us and that image of the shepherd getting up early, even earlier.
Yes.
You know, it's just so gracious and loving.
Amen.
And over here,
yes.
As Elder was saying, in that early rising, it's like he's waiting there for you. In that early rising, as soon as you, at that time, he's right there. You can feel him. You can sense a Holy Spirit. It just began to rise up in you. It's kind of hard to explain, but the only thing I can say is with the early rising, you wake up, you just automatically go into tongues. You just sense it, just that it's like he's just waiting. You open your eyes at that time, and right there, the presence of the Lord. And I was going to say something else. I think I lost my thought. But when you were talking about the sheep, that still water, I think you asked earlier about the still water. When I think of the still water, it's like it's in comparison to like Niagara Falls. When I thought of the water, when Niagara Falls, that water is so what's the word? It just flows down so turbulently, just real powerful, then when you look at that and you think of still water, it's like the water is just softly flowing, gently flowing, and my thought just came back to me. I don't know experience, but if you sit in the tub, I found that it's really something about water. When you sit in the tub, in the water, and you begin to talk to the Lord, it is the best experience. It's just indescribable. It's like about that water and the Lord. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. It's just, I can't describe it. But just sitting in that water and talking to him is such an experience. And I said, oh, Lord, you know, what is it about this water?
Because he's living
and I think
water.
That,
the word.
You know, and I do, yes?
I was just saying that he was living, God, you know, living water.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the word is. And when you're praying to him, it's.
And another thing,
probably.
We have, yes. I think another thing we need to look at, when you look at the natural, what does water do? And so I am reminded of two or three instances where water will actually cause our cells, the cells that make up our body, to rejoice, if you will. But it causes them to thrive. it causes them, and you ever look in a microscope and you can see all the little things moving around? Well, the more water you have, the more it conducts light from cell to cell. And oftentimes, and I know Elder was saying in the tub, but in the shower, I've heard people, you know, it's just that conducting, that water, that living water, as caller shared with us, it is living water. And what in the presence of water, our cells are responding. And so it is with our spirits are responding to that presence of God, because the Lord longs to connect with the spirit, his spirit that is in you. So he has a part of he has a part of himself in you, and connect with that. You're completing the attachment. You know, that's where it says it's going to its original source. And so the flow is so beautiful. You, as Elder mentioned about Niagara Falls, you can die of thirst at Niagara Falls because you cannot get that water because it's flowing too rapidly. And you would probably kill yourself and get a drink of water every day. So you could be by this flowing of this tyrant, this tempesty flow of water, and you can't get to it. But, and especially, for remember, we're talking about sheep who are very timid. So it would frighten them, and they wouldn't go to it. But what they would go to, unfortunately, in their desire to satisfy this thirst, to change the condition of their cells because they feel them dissipating. And the word they use, dissipate. You know, they're actually starting to dry up and to shrivel. They will drink anything. And so they will even go to, because it's not flowing too rapidly, and they're timid and it would frighten them, they will go to something that's rancid, just sitting there. It's been water that's been trampled over by other sheep. Other sheep have boo-pooped in it and all of that. But because it's still water and it's wet and it's not scaring them, they would drink that. And it was often said that this is drinking that water causes very specific internal parasites in the sheep. That the shepherd, he knows this. So he has to make sure that they have clean, pure water, whether it's in the dew on the grass or one of the next source of water that I just found so wonderfully fascinating. I can't picture it. I cannot picture it. As the author explained, that the wells, the water wells that are in the desert, and people set them up because that's where they live around. And they live in desert type areas, and that's how it was in biblical days. That they actually, the shepherd actually had to hew out the rock that led to the source of the water, not the well, but it was the well was a result of the source. So he actually had to hew out rock, and then he had to travel down in the rock. In like a cavernous-like type of environment, and actually scoop out the good water and feed it to the sheep. So he had to lead them down a path that would look a little scary to the sheep because they had the confidence in him. They followed him there, and then he actually said that the shepherd would go to where the source of it was, and naked, the shepherd would actually scoop out water and feed the sheep. And that was such a powerful visual of the church and Jesus Christ. And the fact that, you know, we can get nourishment, we can get water in our private time, our time of reflection, but that can't be the only source of our water. We also must go to the house of the Lord, where Christ died for us and became the rock on which the church was built. And so he is the living water, and as he went to the place of sacrifice so they could get the water to give to us, we We have to hear his voice, follow him path of unknown into that deep place where the source of the water is. And so the water we're getting is pure. It's clean. It's unpolluted. It has not been affected by man and man's thoughts and man's opinions and man's standards and man's emotions, just like the things that the water on the surface could have been the on through it. And that gives us internal clarity, the things that steal and destroy our thinking, our holiness, our godliness, our mindset. And so he goes down and on the cross, naked on the cross, to provide for us the kind of living water, the water that came to us, they pierced him inside for us, so that as we got it, we would thrive and we would live and we would become spiritual children of the living God. And so this journey and this, I imagine physical the sight in the desert of how these, but I could just see spiritually how that second source of moisture and water for us is the church. It's where the word, the living word, is fed to us, by the good shepherd. He has given us the pastors that he has given over us that will shepherd our souls. And so as we follow Christ down those places of worship, he said those that be put also will flourish. So if you're following the pastor and shepherd that has been assigned to you, then he will know how, where this water is that he will personally distribute it to you out of his own sacrifice. That's the sacrifice of a pastor, the sacrifice of one who has been called to shepherd. So we need to understand the fitment of the under that are in our life. And they are required to do exactly what the good shepherd has said to do, has shown us that must be done, and they've given us a standard on how to do it. There is nothing that a shepherd's ability to provide for the shepherd that he will not get empowerment to do. And so no matter what it is that you see,
I was going to say, Minister Paulette, I remember as a kid drinking water from a well in the south, and then later on from the where you had to pump the, I don't remember what it was called, that water. There is no water. I have not tasted any water that tastes as good as that water out of the well and from the one that you had to pump. I have not tasted any water that good.
Yes.
I mean, it was like ice cold.
Yes.
It's just unbelievable. Yes. Ice cold. And now you have to put ice in it. Ice cold water.
Yeah.
And you know, as a kid, you say, how's that water so cold like that? But if nothing tastes like that water. So I can imagine the sheep going through the cave that he mentioned about the sheep and drinking that water from where the men had chiseled out, you know, and quenched their thirst, being quenched by that water, and then after drinking it and getting that feel, then they can lie down and rest in the shade and comfort the same with us after we have drank from the fountain of the Lord, of his word coming forth, and even in reading his word after drinking from that and getting the feel, where we can just rest in him and not worry and know that no matter what we may face, we used to say on tomorrow, but I mean, what we may face in the next 10, 15 minutes, next 5 minutes, next 3 minutes, that God is with us. And it's just amazing, you know, once you come, once he bring you to that place in him where you know that no matter what it is that I may have to face, he will be there. And I tell people all the time that the experiences that I've had in life, I know that there is a God, and no one can tell me that
Jesus
does not exist, because I know that if it wasn't for him, I would be in the nut house. You know, I would have lost my mind. So I know him as a mind regulator. I know him as a keeper. And like you said, that living water, you know, when Jesus speaks of that living water, you know that he is. And you can't deny it when you look around and you remember from when he brought you through many dangers seen and unseen. You know, you can't help but see him, and in reading this book, see him as the shepherd leading you through all of these things.
Right, right.
In the life and I come through.
And I think that's what we want to be able to identify. Like you say, he regulates your mind. And so we want to be able to identify, and that's kind of hard to tell somebody who doesn't know him, well, you'll regulate your mind. It's like, what does that mean? But just like in the life of the shepherd and the sheep, what happens is his presence always preparing, as you say, everything that you need and everything that the sheep need causes the sheep to go beyond what they were naturally created to do. So they're not as timid because they hear his voice. They're not as, as antsy. You know, he brings a calmness to their mind. He changes the way they think about their life because he changes their environment for them, if you will, for the sheep. So what he does is he creates in them a new way of thinking, and that's what Christ does, and that's what so we're not like other sheep who are running astray, because our shepherd prepared a path for us. He has convinced us that he knows the way, because every time he does somewhere, it works well to meet whatever need it is we have and to satisfy us and cause us to thrive. And so he not just regulates, and he does, he regulates our mind, but he does that by changing it and giving us a new mind because of his presence in our life. And so when we look at the shepherd and what he does with the sheep, even as it relates to the particularly at this particular point, to the water that the sheep knows he has to have, he gives them, I want to say, options, or he leads them to optimum ways of getting this water. And so as a result, they get an option in him. He said the third way is springs and streams. And so he leads them into places where no one else has trod it and polluted, and so that the water is clean and clear and pure. I wanted to read to you the description of this water well, as we were talking about. It says that the shepherds had water wells, and some of these are enormous hand-hewed caverns, cut from sandstone formations along the Sandy River. They were like great rooms chiseled out of the rock with ramps leading down to the water trough at the bottom. The herds and flocks were led down into these deep cisterns where cool, as you said, the water is so cold, cool, clear, clean water awaits. It says, but once down there, the shepherd, stripped naked, was bailing water to satisfy the sheep. It was hard, heavy, hot work, and he did it through his own strength. And it's not by our strength, you know, but by the strength of the shepherd, he's able to satisfy the sheep. If we seek to satisfy ourselves, we will seek in the wrong places. And I thought it was interesting that the book and the writer indicated some of the places that we look, because they don't seem like they're bad places. But he indicates that what they will end up doing is looking, and I'm trying to find it real quick, looking to the arts, culture, music, literary forms to try to satisfy the craving of the soul. And remember, we said that what's in us is parts of God. Now, these things will not satisfy us unless the principality and the ruler of these areas of our lives, culture, music, literary forms, art, if these things are not ruled and in the reign of Christ, then they are going to distort and corrupt us and still not satisfy our souls and our emotions. And so what ends up happening is they cause us to be in a wanton state, receiving something that's counterfeit, that is pretending to do what we need to have done. So I thought it was very interesting that as God is showing us in this season all of the influences and why that are around us, and then why we are often in the state we're in, because these are the kinds of things that we look to satisfy and to appease the craving that our soul has for this living water. And there are some culture, there's music, all of these things in the control of the principalities that we learned about, praise God, last weekend, of these seven mountains and of the battle that's before the saints today, of the preparation for possessing those things that belong to God anyway, bringing them back because we, and we alone, have taken them from his presence because we are his, and we're not honoring him, and because of that, the him in us is being taken to places that are corrupt and polluted, just like these dirty waters are. And so the shepherd, and well, actually from the sheep's point of view, is praising and thanking the shepherd for he, and I want to get it right, what he does, and that's why we have to look, he leadeth me beside the still waters. And so we have to understand it is not our leading or our direction that we would need to take, or man's direction, but it is direction of the good shepherd that we should follow in order to get these areas in our life satisfied and thriving the way that they are supposed to. And so this water became a necessary element to be satisfied as the sheep are setting out and in the midst of their journey to spiritual maturity. We really have to thank David as a shepherd for giving us this view of, from a sheep point of view, of what the shepherd should be, and thanking God for this author who brings it more clearly to our understanding. I think that when we look at our lives in terms of the actual things that we become involved in we can see how they can be a pollution to our service and to our spiritual growth and development. We see on a portion of our book, I was going to, it says read, it says, this is near the end of this section when the author is sharing with us the fact that what satisfies us. In the Christian life, exactly the same applies. Many of the places we may be led into will appear to us to be dark, deep, and dangerous, and somehow disagreeable. But it simply must be remembered that he that is with us and in us, he is very much at work in the situation. It is his energy, effort, and strength expended on my behalf that even in this deep, dark place is bound to produce a benefit for me. It is there that I will discover he and he only can truly satisfy me. It is he who makes sense and purpose and meaning come out of situations which otherwise would be a mockery to me. Suddenly, life starts to have significance. I discover I am the object of his special care and attention. This is how he regulates our minds. Dignity and direction comes into the events of my life, and I see them sorting themselves out into a definite pattern of usefulness. I change how I think about myself. All of this is refreshing, stimulating, and invigorating. He breathes life on us. His breath that breathes on us will cause us to live again. And my thirst for reality in life is satisfied, and I discover that I have found that satisfaction in Christ, in my Master. And so we are, as sheep, led by a good shepherd to a place of revival, refreshing, renewing our spirit. He understands that we will get weary, but he tells us, don't worry. I got that. Early morning, meet me. When I go down the valley or into this deep distance, follow me, you know, because I know where I'm going, and he actually prepared that for us, and he is going to make sure we get those things that will truly satisfy our souls. We have a good shepherd who sets the standard for those that are in our lives, and we should settle for nothing less. We should not stay in situations where our shepherd is not providing for us as the word says that they should, with the standard that Christ has given us that should be upon us. This standard is not compromisable. This standard is a selfless standard that honors the sheep because of who the sheep belong to. Not because they are sheep, but because he chose them and then he paid for us. And so our life is not our own. And therefore, we can really live because he who created us knows how to truly satisfy life. Any comments? We always kind of go over, don't we? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. We are opening the lines. To you, if you want to share with us your insight, inspiration, revelation. If not, we will prepare to continue this blessed weekend. I would like to thank everybody who participated in last week's Prayer Strategy Summit prayer breakfast. It was a very powerful time. We just thank God for his presence and direction and leadership and the vision of the visionary and how perfectly he provides for his children when we are obedient. And we are being prepared, and we need to know what that preparation, what responsibility and direction he is working in our lives. So I do thank everybody for being a part of it. The ministry is alive and moving forward at an accelerated pace, and it's a glorious privilege for the Lord to use us in his strategy in these times to possess those mountains and those areas of influence in the lives of the lives of our children, and in the lives of those around us. Questions, comments, insights? If not, we will. Yes? Yes? Okay. We will look at He Restoreth My Soul on next week. We will be in the month of Advent of December. Praise the Lord. We want to have a mindset of just worship and of Christ in this season, in this time. And it doesn't matter how the world has chosen to present Christmas, but we are the world of God's kingdom. And so what we do can shape what they do. So let us always be mindful to do that which Holy Spirit is leading us to do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Enjoy your worship this weekend and today and every day. Be a part of worship so that another might see your Savior and come to Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Glory to
Amen.
God.
God bless.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.